Been a long time without
Welcome
you, my
back
friend.
to welcome back to the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
And we're back after a little Christmas break. And boy, was it needed.
Yes, definitely. Well needed, well earned holiday
Not from you
break.
guys. We love talking to you guys every week. Just in general, from a crazy year. So much happening, so busy. Jake, did you have a... I don't want to get too deep into it because we like to talk about magic and methods on this podcast. We don't like to talk about our boring lives. But did you have a good Christmas? Good New Year's?
Yeah, man, it was great. I won the family quiz and had a good time. Lovely. Beautiful.
I love that that's the full highlight of your...
That is
whole,
genuinely
like,
the highlight
season
of every single year, is getting to just absolutely annihilate my siblings at a quiz.
I love that. In fairness, my highlight was just like eating my body weight in roast potatoes and drinking like 3 pints of gravy on Christmas Day.
Yeah. You sent a photo over into a WhatsApp group, actually, of you just comatose.
Did I?
Oh, maybe
oh,
it was
yes,
Kay.
I did. Yeah. Kaylee took a photo. I fell asleep straight after food with all the family around and I dribbled all over the sofa like a little piglet.
Oh, it was beautiful. The little pig in blanket.
Oh, man. So anyway, we haven't had a creative jam for a little while. Well, I mean, like, we always sort of jam ideas back and forth over the phone. But in terms of a podcast, a public jam.
Yeah, public jam, man. And
it's
it's episode
while.
38, the first one of 2024. Can you believe
this
it?
This is crazy. Yeah, no, I can't. Man, we made it into another year. Into through our first year, essentially.
Hell yes. And next month we'll have been going a year, I think. Well, no, the month after next.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, 38. There's only 12, 14 more. That's 3 months. 3 months worth of episodes, right?
Well, in terms of release schedule, yeah. But in terms of when we started recording, because we've missed a few weeks over the past year or so.
Because I'm an idiot, mostly.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but that's the main reason.
Anyway, the most exciting thing that's happened is you have just done, a few days ago, your first ever lecture.
Yeah, I mean, I've taught very small groups before in person, at kind of like impromptu stuff, or you know when you get pulled up at a jam and it's like, can you show everyone this? So I've taught small groups, but I've never went in depth to that extent. And it was probably a little bit silly of me to do a two-night lecture for my first lecture, but it was even more silly to have the first night be 8 hours long accidentally.
I don't know if that's silly or if that's... I mean, when it's that long, that turns it into a workshop.
Yeah, it half at the halfway point, it kind of converted into a group jam. And the same thing happened the second night, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, you do love just jamming ideas with groups of people than you. So I want to know sort of all about it. Don't divulge too much, because obviously it was, the content was for the lucky people that were managed. That, by the way, I had a busy few days, so I was checking in and out sporadically. There was a fucking lot of people for your first lecture. That was a hell of a lot of people there. And so I, first of all, kudos, man. That was insane to do that, to go big or go home. And to do your first lecture over 2 days is daunting enough. To do it to that many people is crazy. And to do it online and handle it all yourself, including like tech and everything, massive props to you, man. I heard from a lot of people. I could see the comments actually as well.
Oh, thank
That,
you, dude.
that
Your
they loved
lies
it.
Are beautiful. I really
No,
appreciate
no, no.
It.
I mean, just ask the people that attended.
Oh, yeah.
But
They're
I
all
want to
very,
know.
Very polite people. What do you want to know? Sorry, Lloyd. I keep interrupting.
I want to know, because I've been, you know, I've done my fair share of lecturing. I've done two. So I want to know specifically how you structured your lecture. And maybe this could be interesting. Creatively, because every single week we create a new method. I'm sure we'll come up with a trick today whilst we're jamming here. But I do want to know how you approached your lecture, and I can talk to you about how I approached mine and see if, you know, what we can take from each other's thought process. But mainly I want to know, tell me about the process of even the name, Orphan Source, and everything. Like, just go. I'll shut up and you go.
Hell yeah, let's go. That does actually remind me, we had a question come in yesterday that was from a listener called John Anderson, and he's a lovely guy. He was at the lecture. But his question was just, what were your main takeaways from doing your lecture? So I guess this can partly be an answer for you, John. But originally, I think the lecture, I set it up almost in desperation because I needed some kind of a goal and something to be working on whilst I was, well, jobless. Well, after I'd just left my job at the start of November, so around about 2 months or so ago, I guess. Is it? I don't know. I'm awful with dates and times, most things in life. But around about 2 months ago, I started it, and I gave myself 2 months to do a lecture. Partly because I wanted something to work towards, partly because I wanted some form of income, and I knew that if I did that myself instead of going to a magic club, then I'd be able to get, a little modest amount of money to cover my rent. And also, I wanted to share some things. There's been stuff that, I mean, I've spoken about it plenty of times before. I used to share tiny little booklets just with local friends who were into magic, and I hadn't really distributed anything or taught too much. So I wanted to get some things out of my head, some things that had been floating around there for a while. And it's the same as making videos, which I've been doing a lot lately. It's almost like you can get that weight out of your brain and move on to the next big thing. So it was nice to put a neat little ribbon on some of these things and say, I think I might be nearly done with the approach to them, and I can let them out into the wild. Also, I really just wanted to attach my name to something. I wanted to have my name on something, which is why it isn't just called like Jake Keane's Magic Lecture. I wanted it to be almost as if it was an event or a show, which might sound egotistical, but I just like the idea of kind of having that be branded.
No, you know what? Just to speak on that, I'm with you 100% on that. I think, at least for possibly the type of brains that we both have, I at least for me, what I like to put like bookends on stuff. I like to put something in a category or box it off. So I will call it a name or give it something that solidifies it. A because if sort of it feels, I don't know, it just feels right. But B, because with scatterbrains, I feel it stops me sometimes getting distracted and going back to things or being distracted from other projects. You know what I mean? Sometimes I have to, they say some people will just refine and refine and refine and refine. And then it becomes, they fall into the paradox of perfection where it never becomes good enough. And sometimes I need to say to my, I'd say to myself, like, hence my YouTube channel, a lot of that is for half-baked ideas that then they get capped off. So, yeah, just to chalk on that, I think this is a great thing to always sort of put something in a box and close that lid sometimes.
Yeah, dude, and a lot of it comes from kind of, in a past life, I worked on a magazine that I started and a podcast that I started that was all to do with creativity, that was inspired by the DIY punk hardcore thrash kind of scene. And a lot of that is you get it out now or it doesn't ever come out at all. You throw stuff together and make it as good as you can. And I think there are a lot of people who suffer from that. If they're writing their first novel, it takes them 16 years and they probably don't even finish because they can't help but tinkering away at it. Whereas if we've spoke about in the past before, if you have one big push, like the whole night before, finish off the work, you get it done well. And some people will get stuck in the mindset of something having to be perfected when what you really need is just to get the gears going, get the engine started and just push things out. And like, what's the saying? It's like done is better than perfect.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can see this in all different art forms. You see the musicians that will put out one album every 20 years or 15 years, and they are megastars, or they're icons. And then you see the artists that put out an album every single year, and equally they are megastars or icons. I'm not saying we do our art or magic to be stars or icons, but what I'm saying is, you can achieve, depending on the personality type you have, the way you create. Your success is not defined by whether you put out perfection or share create how like your amount the amount of creativity you have. It's defined by the quality of it, like how it's perceived from the other side of things. So not what you perceive it. Am I making sense?
Kind of. I think so.
Okay.
I think so. It's a very it's a kind of a gray area. It's a bit nuanced because certain people will 100% disagree, and they say, you know, release it when it's done. It'll be done when it's done. You know, like, no, George R. R. Martin, don't put out those books. Spend another 15 years until you drop dead. And there are people who will argue that, you know, strive for perfection. It depends on your mindset, and it depends on the way your brain works. My brain works, if I try and strive for perfection, I will never release any form of media or art in my life. I have to DIY punk it, cobble it together with sellotape and duct tape and pins and needles. Like, it has to be Frankensteined and go and get out my brain, because otherwise I'll get in my own head and get nervous about it. And then I'll start, if I leave it an extra week, I'll go, oh, it's not good enough. I can't put it out. I can't do anything with it.
Yeah, time is a killer sometimes when you reflect back. You have to sort of, you have some people like me and you have to share it live in the moment while we're excited about it, because we sort of doubt ourselves or don't get enthusiastic. Or be like a puppy, we'll chase after a new ball the next week. I always think about creativity. I think I've spoken about this, but I always refer back to, in terms of magic, Danny Garcia and Wayne Houchin. Now, Garcia has loads of tricks out. He has the Garcia Projects, which has like 90 tricks in total, probably, you know, or something crazy like that. And then you have Wayne Houchin, who has probably released, I don't know. I know there's released more than this, but I'd say like a fraction less, maybe 1/10 of what the amount of Garcia shared in terms of creation. But yeah, both of them I hold in equal regards, and I put them both in that same category, style of creator, like close-up, magic, visual, practical stuff. One releases, well, used to, not so much anymore, but Danny would share a lot, and Wayne would share stuff which was like fully perfected.
Yeah.
You know, everything about Wayne's routines was perfection. But yeah, both of them are held in equal regards to me.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm surprised how little, because it does happen, but how, like, over time it's happened less. Like, Wayne deserves the flowers every time you speak about him, purely because it's very, I would imagine it's very hard to be a magician whose output actually defines the era that it came out. Because when you think about that specific time period, it was that's his stuff is the stuff that stuck around for me.
Yeah, it's very true. He is that. When I think of that era, it's funny, like, I think of the music from it, Dana Hocken, you know, the guy who used to produce his music, because he did all the Theory 11 stuff as well.
Yeah.
So all the stuff was on Wayne's old trailers, and it was in all the Theory 11 stuff for ages and ages. So that whole era was sort of encapsulated by Wayne Houchin.
Yeah, trailers that were edited to look like Saw movies.
Yeah, glitch. That glitch effect had a battering.
It was a damn good era in magic,
video
though, looking
pilot.
Back. For street magic, that was the tits, man.
Dude, that and frosted tips in the hair. That's what it's all about.
Hell yes, I've still got my frosting in my hair.
Oh, you do have that Jason Momoa frosted tip going on. Little iced end bit.
Yes, that's my rap name. The main takeaways that I kind of got from this lecture, just to very quickly answer the question before we go off on a tangent. So it was called Orphan Source because I wanted a name that was unique, and also it was something that I had heard. I had read it or heard it somewhere, and the definition of it got stuck in my brain like a, you know, a barb. And because of that, I wanted to actively explain why I was hooked by it, because that's interesting to me in the narrative and like the storytelling in magic. The fact that the lecture is named after something that just for some reason hooked me, it's worth going into why that hooked me, because that's part of the creative process that I can speak about in the lecture. So that, to me, well, anyway, I know it's like the artsy kind of thing to do, but to me, there's about four or five reasons that I picked that title. And most people
know
probably
each
think,
one of them.
What, sorry?
I want to know each and every one of them. Like, I'm fascinated by this.
It will take quite a long time, but the general gist of it is, very often I view things through the lens of magic, and I try and relate things back to magic. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's some kind of a disease that I have, but I think a lot of us do this. When we hear something, we almost think, oh, that's kind of like in magic when this happens. And when I read about Orphan Source, it made me think about like so many different things in magic, because an Orphan Source is a an unregulated nuclear device that is, you know, lost, misplaced, or otherwise stolen. A nuclear device that no country knows where its whereabouts, and no one knows what it's up to, who is in possession of it. Because I have that weird magic brain that makes us make the things that we make, I just started viewing it through the lens of magic and thinking about this magic that was lost to time and how that was an interesting hook, and then thinking about how maybe some people view it as the way exposure is viewed, like this out there, like, oh no, people are gonna come into contact with it, they're gonna find it, you know, it's dangerous to us. And I don't know, that when I started thinking about it the very first night that I read it, I ended up writing a bunch of stuff down, and the fact that it hooked me that much and it was just two words was worth talking about. And because I had some effects that I wanted to not offload, because I still absolutely love them and I'm still going to use them, but I wanted to get the process down on paper and out my brain so that I could make room for other stuff, I thought, I'm going to talk about all this together. I'm going to talk about creativity and storytelling, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 effects that I want to offload to another hard drive and just package it all together so that in my head it makes sense. Structure-wise, I wanted it to be easily accessible. So the first night was, you know, 3 or 4 magic effects, traditional kind of magic effects. It was to do with cards, which some people who know my magic might not think that's what I usually play with or what I usually release, but I do have a decent amount of effects that utilize cards. But I think they were kind of interesting because they don't necessarily require any skill, and they use cards in a way that's different to other tricks. And the second night was more to do with the storytelling, mentalism, mysticism side of things. So I could get a little bit more in depth with what my creative process is when I go into things and how I approach hooks, how I approach certain beats in a story. And hopefully I went over that. You know, I'm saying that this is what the lecture is about, but in reality, I could have just been babbling about, you know, anything for... That was the main point. Like, that was what I wanted the lecture to be. The main takeaways of it is get someone to help you with the tech side, because I, you know, the first night took a little while to start because of tech stuff. If you're doing it in person, you know, get someone to do the sound system for you and have the notes a lot easier to read than I have my notes, because I didn't bullet point them correctly. So I ended up searching for where I was up to, having these awkward gaps where I was trying to figure out what I meant when I wrote, you know, a very abbreviated version of a sentence. And just know the material. I think I didn't practice enough. I knew the material, but I didn't practice enough to flow between each stage of the lecture as well as I could have. The second night, though, I think went a lot better, because that was stuff that I absolutely live and breathe.
Yeah, the stuff you were just comfortable in your own skin with. But also, like, you know, I think unless you are, I don't see you as the person, as one of those types of people that practices. It's kind of, what do they say? Is there's only the best practice is to perform or to do it. So, like, it's the theory of when, not the theory, but they say, like, people who go to college. I mean, I'm a prime example. I went to college for 5 years to learn multimedia, which is like encompassing of video design, editing, etc. And I'd realistically learned nothing, because it wasn't until I actually started working for a magic company in America and I went and hung out with Pete McKinnon that I actually learned what I needed to know.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, like, all the theory and all the practice, like years of it, like genuinely that I took on, meant nothing. Of course, if you're a doctor or something like that, you know, then that comes into play. But
yeah, I'll learn brain surgery on the job. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like the 10,000 hours thing, right? Like, you can study all you want, but until you do it. So I wouldn't, yeah, I think it's, if I were you, I would write down, and you seem to have a good list there anyway, but like maybe watch it back and write down all the things that you think went a bit tits up. And then, you know, consider it for next time. I know for certain when I did the Blackpool lecture. So I've done three lectures in total. The first one was in the Philippines, and it was an off-the-cuff thing
Oh,
to a
yeah.
magic club, right? And it
Yeah.
was like, I don't know, 20 people, and I went in. I had nothing on me, so I had to go into like a WH Smith's type of store and make things. So I don't really class it as a lecture. It was like a couple of years ago. I did like 45 minutes or something. But I've done two proper like planned lectures. So the big one was Blackpool last year. And then so before that, I did a warm-up lecture. And what I did was, and I'm just saying this out loud for people listening in case they ever are in the position they want to lecture. I went to Cardiff Magic Society and my good friend Harry Harrington. It was supposed to be a random jam night there. So I said, look, I'm lecturing at Blackpool. I need to do a warm-up lecture, but I don't want to advertise this warm-up lecture. I don't want to tell anyone. Like, I just want to turn up
Yeah.
and you know, if you could just say, hey guys, change of plan for tonight. Lloyd's here, he's gonna teach some stuff. So I did that and I recorded it. And then at the end of it, because there was only like six people there, no one knew, it was a surprise basically. Because I kind of knew half of them a little bit, and I know some of them, and then the other ones like kind of like acquaintances. I went on, I did the lecture, and then at the end, and I was recording it all, I was like, guys, can you, and I mean, I was like, don't hold back, fuck my feelings, like rip that lecture to shreds now,
Yeah.
tear it to shreds, please. And the greatest gift, like anyone strange, not strange, but anything's ever done for me, they did. They went to town on what was fucked about it. They told me some lovely comments as well, but they also, the stuff they didn't like or they felt didn't work, they went ham on. And I could not be more grateful if you asked me to be. It was perfect because it helped me strip away the fat. It helped me know what was engaging, what wasn't engaging, what could be seen, what couldn't be seen. It helped me know when I rambled on too long. And then so I had these notes kind of in my head, but I went home, watched it, and I listened through all the like the constructive criticism. I actually didn't tell him to be like, I was like, just literally just be harsh, like go be mean, because I that's the stuff people are actually going to say anyway, you
Yeah.
know. And then I watched it back, and then I feel like aside from one flub of a slight, which I kind of recovered, I feel like my Blackpool lecture went as smoothly as it could have gone for me.
Dude,
Other people would have nailed it better,
it was
but
great. I was in the front row. It was
you were my boy,
beautiful.
you were on stage
Oh
at one
yeah.
point.
Oh shit, I forgot about
Yeah.
that. I was a plant. Not really.
But yeah, sorry, just to go off on a tangent there. Like, so anyone thinking of lecturing, it's always a good option to do like a little mini surprise. Don't give anyone a heads up.
Yeah, and you offered as well for for you and a bunch of guys to maybe sit down one night and listen to my lecture, and I didn't end up doing a practice run apart from to myself, which I definitely regret, but at the same time, because of the length of the lecture, it just would have been such a, I mean, I slept for like 24 hours after the second night because I was that drained.
Wow. Yeah, people don't realize how mentally taxing these things can be. I say to Kaylee, well, no, I don't have to say to her. She says to me, she notices, if I spend the day jamming, like if I'm doing like, you know, I don't know, maybe a new YouTube video or some new projects for Murphy's, and the whole day is just jamming ideas, I'll come downstairs after like maybe 7 p.m. and I can't think. I can't really speak properly. My head, I always say it's like my head's like being microwaved. But
Yeah.
like I do like a lot of like I try to do as much manual labor as I can. I love like renovating things, and I can shift like 4 or 5 tons of gravel and things in the backyard, and I will be less fucked from doing that mentally than I would from just sitting down on my ass jamming. It's so weird.
Yeah, dude. But both of us enjoy running. I love going on hikes up mountains and stuff. And people always say to me, like not in a bad way, but they say you're a bit stockier. Like, how are you like still going? And it's just this is fine. This is nothing compared to when you do like a 10-hour trying to figure out how to work out a trick, and your brain is completely comatose.
It's a different type of thing. The body isn't used to like long set. Like I remember I was emailing Matthew Beesh years ago, and he said that creativity is a muscle. The brain is a muscle. The
Yeah.
more you use it, the stronger it gets. And I certainly think that people that are like dipping their toe to foray into the world of creativity or have not maybe a lot of, because a lot of people find like the pathway to, for them in magic is to learn. And then only over time you get, I believe it takes confidence to start creating, you know. And that's a new area of the brain when you're creating with magic. And this can be very new for some people, and it can be exhausting at times.
Dude, that's literally exactly some of the same stuff that I was talking about in the lecture. That
Oh
whole like
wow.
new area of the brain thing. Also to do with reading as well. And you know, when people get into tarot, they're like, yeah, but how do you do it? And it's like, it's just interpreting. And it's, but they've never been taught to interpret in their life if they haven't went to a film studies class or studied art. They don't know what interpreting something is because of, you know, not in a bad way. It's just in life, you're just told things or you're not told things. And you're not actively taught unless you go to, you know, particular lessons how to interpret something. And it's like an entirely new area of the brain. It's, and it is the same with creativity. So I always try and teach creativity shortcuts and ways that you can kind of kickstart it or slowly, you know, like a couch to 5K kind of thing, but with creativity. Which what I recommended to people in the lecture was that game that we played a few times on the first few episodes of this podcast, where it was a what plot, principle, prop or something.
Oh yeah, those were fun. We haven't done that for a while.
No, we'll do it. We'll do a special one one week.
Yeah,
But
that
I
sounds
think
fun.
creative shortcuts like that, you've got to just start doing it. Otherwise, you never. It's the same as, you know, a couch to 5K program. Run for 90 seconds, walk for 2 minutes, or whatever it is.
I don't, oh yeah, to sort of ease yourself in. I remember one of the things that I used to do for teaching creativity. It's kind of, it is hard to teach it because there's no answer. There's no like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 is definitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no answer to it. But one of the things I used to do, and I talk about this all the time, so this is just going, you know, going over the old stuff. But I would look at like a trick that I want to perform or want to do. And I would look at all the existing versions of it, and I would look at all their methods, and then I would write them down or make a mental note of them in my head. And then I would need to, then I'd want to recreate that trick, or at least how it looked. But I wouldn't be allowed to use any of the methods.
Yeah.
So the first thing would always be this. And I've heard loads of people like say this now, but like the first thing would be like no flaps. So you've got to cross that off the list, and that gets rid of like 90% of the tricks out there, or 90% of the methods for the tricks that you know, the visual ones out there. And I would do things like that, and it's only then, once you've exhausted every existing method, will you sort of, if you're relentless enough, because I don't think it's creativity sometimes. I think it's just being the person who's just willing to explore more, to go
Yeah.
further. Only once you've exhausted all the options and you're still looking for ways to do it, that you end up in with a new method. And sort of blue ocean territory, you know, and then you realize, oh wow, no one that I can find has done this before, and because of that, I can do this trick in this way now, and I can actually use it, okay, with this trick instead, and it looks even better, and you know, it's just that pursuit of finding something that no one else has got to before.
It's I've mentioned it a few times on this podcast. That's how, you know, sometimes when the engine's running cold, I have to kickstart myself. And I will, if I want to kickstart myself because there's a blank page and I'm scared, I'll say, okay, I'm going to take a few hours and try and come up with a new way to do the haunted deck instead, because that'll just get me going. Or I'll come up with a new, like, you know, Confederate queuing system, or just like something that is traditional. Come up with a new way to do it. Get your brain into that mode so that you can then approach the actual problem.
That's a great way of doing it. Okay, we are diverging from the lecture. Can we go back to we were talking about Orphan Source, the naming of it. You went from playing cards on the first night and some sort of like worker type material, would you say, into the second.
Yeah, well, kind of. It's more social casual. Some of it can be performed as a worker. The ideas behind it can be used in worker routines, but most of the routines that I taught were social casual. Some of them one on one, some of them to a group.
The
The
best
stuff
of.
that I love, I'm like, I can't teach worker stuff because that's not what I do anymore. Like,
You don't gig. You should start gigging though.
dude, I know. One step at a
I
time.
should gig. I mean, the name alone, I keep going back to it, Orphan Source. There's something like inherently magic about that. The idea that something has been created but has no origin, it just exists in the world. That like phrase alone is the start of a magic trick.
Dude,
You know what I mean?
first lines are important, right? We spoke about first lines plenty of times, and it's so much of the magic that I create might be the simplest method, but the hook is decent because I've worked on it for a while. Or I've just stole it from something that sounded really cool and rewritten it.
So you went on for 8 hours in the first night. The second night was more than more mentalism
Yeah, there was a little bit of like
focused.
mentalism and mysticism. So it was covering. I've literally trying to recall what it was covering now.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
It went over a routine called Objects from the Void, which I have actually performed to you, where you're imagining an object at the end of a hallway,
Yeah,
and
that was
then.
great.
It kind of like broke down certain segments of that after explaining it. It broke down certain parts of that and like why visualization is important in mentalism and how it's this like in a lot of tricks, it's this untapped tool that people don't get into because that's what hypnotism and pseudo hypnotism in. You're forcing like this visualization, this interior theater of the mind upon someone. And that's magic. You can make someone see something in their head. That's freaking magic.
Yeah,
And it's
that is
just
magic.
so underutilized. So a large portion of it was about that kind of stuff and creativity. The actual stuff that was taught was, let me get the list up because when I said I put this show together to get certain things out my head, I actually did mean that. And I put it up my head almost completely. Oh, you know what was interesting that I taught? Something that I've spoke about on here called the library test. And it is the
Okay.
simplest, most obvious method, but because of certain subtleties in it, people really enjoyed it. And it's called a library test because I performed it for the first time on a girl in a library. And it was, I think I went to the bathroom and I said to her, pick any book and pick any word in the book and then put it
Right.
back.
Well, this sounds absolutely impossible.
that's what's fun about it. And I mean, I've spoken about it on this podcast, so it's not like it was an exclusive to the lecture or anything. It is just a one ahead, but it's the way that the one ahead is structured that makes it really just seem super impossible.
Oh wait, I can't remember us talking about this one on here.
Oh, really? Yeah, we spoke about it on here. I think we had a guest, and I remember speaking about it. I can't remember whether it might have been Relish or Dad's Well, maybe.
I'm so interested now. I'm kind of like I want to ask what the method is apart from the one ahead, but it's in the
That's all
lecture.
it is. That's all it is. But because of the way it's presented, well, it's not even a one ahead. It's a non ahead because you are purposefully getting one of the pieces of information wrong because it doesn't matter. So,
Oh, now I okay. As soon as you said that, okay, I know where we're at. I
yeah.
know
So
where we're at.
you're asking them the title. No, you're not asking them. You're asking them to think of the title of the book, but you just write down any old number like 273.
Yeah,
And
that's
then you're
right.
asking them to think of the word that they were thinking of, and then you write down the title, and then you're asking them to, oh, actually, whilst you had the
It was
book
three
open,
things. It was the title, the page number, and the word. And you get the random page number wrong, but it's so inconsequential because you throw it away to begin with. But that's the one ahead, right? Not to begin with. Yeah, you throw it away straight at the start as the reveal, right?
and it's justified, it's built in, you almost add it at the end, like, shit, you know what, I am. Bad when it comes to numbers with this stuff. Stuff just gets lost in the, over the airwaves, so to speak. Numbers are harder to pick up on. Let me try this anyway. And there's a bunch of subtleties around
Oh my
it.
God, sorry, I just had an idea.
No, it's okay, dude.
A way to get it perfect. All three.
Go for
All
it.
right,
Shoot.
do you have a book near you?
Yes.
Okay. This is gonna be terrible, but I'm gonna try and actually do it right now, okay? And
Yeah.
we are magicians, listen to this, so please don't judge me too hard, everyone, how terrible I am. I'm going to take three pieces of fillet that I'm quickly cutting up right now.
No worries,
You
dude.
will have to be the eyes and ears of the audience, if that's okay, my friend.
I will be judge, jury, and executioner. Don't you worry.
And I
But,
changed my pen really quickly. All right. Okay, cool. Perfect pen right here. Not the perfect pen by John Bulley. It's just a perfect pen to use. And all right. So, Jake, you have a book. Don't tell me what the book is. Before we do anything, I need something to write on. I'm gonna write down what you do, which is normally the title you say out loud. I'm gonna write down the title of the book. All right. Just a question. Is this a big book or a small book?
It's medium book, an average size book.
Medium tone. Okay. I'm gonna go for I'm gonna go for I might be wrong on that. Okay, so I've written down the name of the book and I'm gonna place that in view under my watch. Okay, so for the first time, what was the name of the book?
It's called What We See When We Read.
What we see when we read. That's so interesting. Okay, all right. Now I want you to turn to any page in the book or think of any page number in the book.
Okay.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
And I'm before you do, I'm going to write it down. Okay. And I'm going to fold it up and place it away. Okay, so now you can reveal what was the page number you thought
I have 157.
of? Okay. Oh no, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
Okay, I
Okay,
won't
come
tell
on.
you that. Do
Okay.
you want me to choose a different
Sorry.
one?
Just think of the word, sorry.
Okay.
I'm screwing this up so bad.
No, dude, don't. The
Okay, go
podcast is
for
made
the
to jam.
word. Yeah, okay, do the word now. So think of the word. Okay, imagine you've read the word, you're thinking of it. I'm gonna write it down. Okay, what's the word?
Vulva.
Well, hey, it's so bad, but you'll see where I'm going with the idea. All right, so I have three pieces of information. I can't remember what they're in. The first one I wrote down was the name of the book. So I've written down, let's see here, what we see when we read, which was the name of the book. Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
Ta-da. Amazing, right? Next, I've written down the word you were thinking of. Obviously, this would be played way bigger than this. Like, this would be taken out. But I've written down the word vulva.
Nice.
Ta-da. But imagine, change the page number in your head.
Okay.
All right. I've also written down the page number, but I want us to try and do an experiment where even if you think that I could have made you pick that page number, I'm going to have you potentially change it in your mind. So add up all the digits of that page number, if it's a two-digit page number or a three-digit page number.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and take them away from the original number.
Okay.
Yeah. And now you're left with a two or three, a two-digit number, one-digit, three-digit number.
Three for me.
Drop the first digit.
Okay.
Maybe you should know this from the start. So drop the first digit. So I would say if you think of a three-digit page number, just focus on the last two digits, add them together
Okay.
and take them away from the that original two-digit number in your head.
Okay.
You're left with a single digit or a double digit number now.
Yeah, double digits.
Double digit. And then so the number you're thinking of is, I want to say 18,
What?
36, sorry.
36, yeah.
Oh shit, yeah, there's so many ways it could go wrong. You can see where I'm kind of going with it.
Yeah.
I wrote down number 9, because it's the 9-4. So it
Yeah.
can be any multiple. That was so butchered, but I hope
No,
everyone
no,
can
no, no,
see
no, no.
something where I was going with
Do you want it?
it.
I know, I really like it. I like the. I don't know. Well, it becomes a force then,
Yeah, that's
which I
essentially it. I
really
was going to
like.
try and, because if you add, everyone knows this. If you add any two digit, oh yeah, because each depending on the starting digits, it comes down to the death, the 10, the 9, the set of nines in tens, you know what I mean? By before it, isn't it? So a number between 10 and 20, if you add the two digits up and take them away, the answer will be 9. If the number's between 10 and 30, 20 and 30, the answer will be 18, and so on and so forth. So you must be thinking of a number between four in that 40 range, was it?
47, I think.
Yeah, so 4 plus 7 is 11. You take that away from 47, it comes to 36. Okay, so is there a way to hone that?
Quite possibly. Before I forget. Okay, go on.
No. I was going to say, just hand them a book with 100 to 200 pages, up to 200 pages, no more, and tell them to think of a word and look if they're in the, and then, sorry, as long as they're in the back half of the book, you just say, think of the first two numbers.
Yeah.
So it's 120 something, so that'd be 12, or 150 something, which would be 15.
Nice.
It's getting
Nice.
very convoluted, though, isn't it?
Well, you know what it is, but also I enjoy it because this is something where I have about five different versions of it. I think I spent about 45 minutes on this tiny, stupid one ahead because of the different subtleties that you can use in it. One that I think you might like is you perform it, you're out getting coffee with a friend or wherever, you go to the bathroom, you say, just go pick one of those books whilst I'm in the bathroom. Open it up to any page and think of any word. So you do that and you do it the normal way. So you get the title. No, you can get the title nearly spot on. You get the number completely wrong. You get the title nearly spot on, and then the word is spot on, which is usually the way I do it, like ramping up.
Yeah.
But because the number's wrong, you say to them, "That's weird. Like I just kept." This number was I was sure that was the number because that's what I just kept hearing in my head. Half an hour later, whilst you're having your coffee, you do a serial number prediction. You do the number that you predicted for that you thought you'd divine for the page was actually, the first four digits, three digits of a serial note that you take from them. And I say take.
What? Oh, okay. But how are you getting them to pick the page, though, that corresponds to that?
You don't because you got the number wrong.
Oh, shit.
So 30 minutes later.
Let's say you actually chose page 10, for example, and I write down and I reveal throughout the effect, oh, I think you were thinking of page 97. And you're like, yeah, that's way off, completely wrong. I'm so sorry. I'll try again. Later on, you do another effect and you borrow their bill and the first two numbers of the serial number and 97.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's what the 97 keeps. It's the first two serial numbers. I knew I was going to bump into this number today.
Yeah.
That's clever. That's fucking clever. That's really fucking clever.
So you get to just wrap it up. It, also, if you did it that way, it would play on stage as well. Go on.
What if you went for a coffee and they buy and you see them paying cash, which is very rare these days, but you can just clock what they paid with. And as they're paying and you look at the order, you can tally up how much change they're going to get. So you know how much change they are. So now you reveal the change amount as the page number, like 435 or £4.35. So you say for page, would you think of page 435? There's something 435. I know for a fact if something's 435. I don't know. Okay, well, let's try the word, let's try the book title. Sorry, my bad. Then later on you say da 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 da, and then how much change did you get earlier? And they say 435. You're like, that's it. See
Yeah,
that?
it's being able to wrap it up with either something like that where you're cleaning her up or with another effect entirely. I love it's because it's like a casual
Clever.
confabulation kind of thing. It's not a confabulation, but you know what I mean. It's almost like a very, very trimmed down version of the end of a Derren Brown show. Like you're getting to squeeze in one more effect that isn't just an effect. It cleans up something that happened previously, which is what I love. I love stuff that's the whole, like the we've spoken about before, like the Gordian knot, like the knot that tightens itself. I love that stuff. In the interest of completion, if you perform it the vanilla way, it doesn't really matter that you got the number wrong because you never asked them to remember the number. So they're kind of just guessing themselves. So it's like,
Oh,
do you
turn to
know
any page and think of the word on that page.
what? Yeah.
And then you, and then, yeah, nobody will look at the page number.
No,
Oh, that's
not
even
usually.
better.
Yeah. So that's the way I've performed it the most, just like the vanilla way. And it's, well, you didn't know the number anyway, so you were just thinking of a number and, you know, something got mixed up, whatever the explanation is, or the just whatever it is. Or even if you get it near, and if you're going to assume that they go for the middle of the book, you can, you know, you could just say, like, most books are around about what, 300 pages or so.
I wonder if you did this on stage, if you were able to ad lib a little bit at the end, you could say da, 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 page four. Let me find a few. 435, and she gently spat on her. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
But you could, and no one would even know, because they were like, oh, I didn't even look at the page number. You're like, oh, well, that's
Yeah.
show business.
That's your business,
That's
baby.
clever, Jake. That's very, 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 very devious.
Thank you, dude. It's one of my favorite casual effects, and I will use it as an excuse to go anywhere with books. If I'm out with a friend, then we're definitely going to Waterstones so I can do this because it seems stupid. It fucking kills.
Yeah, this is actually brilliant. I'm thinking you could just do this as a two-phase thing as well. You don't need the three. So, hey, pick up a book, turn to any random page, and think of a random word in the middle of that page. So they do that, close it. You have two bullets. Okay, first of all, I'm going to write down what I think the word is, and you're writing down page 95. Fold it up, put it down. Okay, perfect. What was that? I'm committed to that, so you hold on to it. What was the word you were thinking of? Okay, very interesting. And secondly, then let me just write something down. Okay, I've folded up, I've committed. What was the page number? And they go, I can't touch it. What was the page number? And they go, oh, I don't know. And you're like, oh, what the fuck? You're like, oh, shit. Okay, never mind then. Well, I wrote down page 95. We could, depends if it's on there. And you could say, but whatever. They could check, but who's going to check?
Yeah,
It doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter.
it doesn't
Got the
matter
page number wrong. Got the page number
because
wrong.
that's the structure as well anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've failed. Wait, there's a chance. Oh, you got it. Like, it doesn't matter anyway. It's a
Yeah,
three-part
exactly.
thing.
No one remembers that.
Yeah, no.
Jake, I love that.
I love it, dude.
Love
It's one of
that.
my favorite things, and it's the stupidest thing as well.
But I didn't even know you were lecturing on that, because there were so many other gems in there. So many
Oh,
other
thanks, dude.
gems.
Thanks,
The
dude.
trick with the two P's, I don't want to say it in case it gives it away, but the paper something.
Oh yeah, I don't think it'll give it away. It's just the name. But yeah.
That's
That
my favorite. I think it's my favorite thing in there.
I needed to I don't think I taught it as well as I could have, but I know that some people really enjoyed it because of messages I've had afterwards. So when I actually
It's
do teach it, because I think that's going to be a release, when I actually do teach it properly, I'm excited to see what people think of it.
one of those things where just the concept of it, like understanding the principle of it,
Yeah.
is all I needed to get excited, let alone the routines that you've then, and that's some of the cleanups and stuff that you've come up with is actually so good.
Again, the cleanup. I don't know what it is, but I absolutely love stuff where it cleans itself up. I'm just like, the magic tricks I love to create are little mini Roombas.
Mini rumors. That
Yeah, that's another one that just ties itself together at the end. In a way that is so spotless.
it's beautiful.
Thank you, man. Not to brag, they're just like two effects I'm really
So,
proud
without all
of.
that being said, where can people who weren't able to check it out live, how can they watch that lecture? And if they were watching it live, how can they watch it back?
Oh, so anyone who got tickets for the lecture will be sent, you know, in the next. I have spoke to people, I have updated people in the next week or two. They'll be sent a link to both nights of the recording. And I think I'm just going to do it pretty fairly unedited, apart from maybe a little bit at the start and a little bit at the end. Maybe the jam sections will be their own separate little thing, but you'll get pretty much the full recording of the night, both nights. And then the lecture notes will be going out in the next, you know, 2 weeks or so as well.
Oh, the lecture notes, dude. This was the best deal in Magic. I keep saying this, and I know we don't talk about anything like product related on here, but this really is what really was good. Is there a way that people are going to be able to buy those lecture notes and the video after the fact? Can you make that happen, please? 'Cause I know people are going to be asking for it.
Yeah, I will I need to set up a storefront or something for it, I suppose. But yeah, there will be a way.
You have a Patreon now, don't you? So I'm wondering, I'm looking if you can search, if you can sell, I know you can sell digital products on Patreon. That's
Yeah.
easy.
Yeah,
But
I
I wonder
don't
if
know
you
if
put
you
your
can
lecture
sell
notes on
physical
there.
though, sorry.
What you could do is you could do like, you could put the digital PDF and the video of the lectures up on Patreon. That's not an issue at all. That's easy to do as a store.
Yeah, I suppose I could.
Do it, please.
I will do. I will do. If anyone is interested, if you look on just jakekeen.com, I'm pretty sure I will have a link up there that tells you how, or at least in the next week or so, or maybe I'll update next episode.
Yippee! I'm holding you to it because it's really good material. I really want people to get their hands on it.
Thank you, dude. And you know what? The lecture notes actually cover stuff that I only got to talk about half the things I wanted to speak about in the lecture itself, I feel like. So the lecture notes are super jam-packed.
Hell yeah. And you're an amazing writer, so that's going to
Thank
go
you,
well.
dude. Oh, I've been writing way too much lately. I've been having just to give stuff away for free because I've been writing that much.
What have you been, what's something that's excited you lately that you've been writing up?
Two things that I've been writing lately. Well, actually, no, three things. I'm finishing off Zodihac, which is our
Nice.
joint release. Hopefully, like by the end of the month, we will have a way for people to get the pre-sale of that in time for Blackpool. The other two things are, how much can I say? Well, one of them is just a kind of a free ebook that will probably be put up for free, called Mirror Theories, which is a three-part routine that is to do with a magical moment as opposed to like a big trick. And it's three separate, small, casual social things that you can be done, or they can be combined together into a routine. And that's called
Nice.
Mirror Theories. And it's about it's almost like kind of a hippie new age kind of spiritual healing thing that will appeal to a certain type of audience and a certain type of performer. Not for everyone, but it got me super excited writing it up because it's been something I've done for years and years. So,
I'm all over it.
the other thing is a little bit niche and kind of a novelty, but it's fun. I think it'll probably be free. I don't know. It's at 100 pages, so maybe I will have to, like, you know, charge a couple of quid for it at some point. But it is a, I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest with you. It's a really weird one. It's called The Old Man at the Card Table. And it is a it's almost like a an alternate timeline where Erdene's aged gracefully into pursuing cons via mentalism because his
Okay.
hands weren't as swift as they used to be. And it is a
Ha.
imagined effects that Erdene's might come up with to do with mentalism as an old man.
Oh, wow. I love that. I want it. Have you written it?
It's like halfway done. There's an extract up on my Patreon for free. I
What
think,
is it?
yeah,
Patreon.com, The Real Underground.
it is. Yeah,
Forward
or
slash
just
the real
Jake.
underground.
I don't want to advertise myself this whole episode though, because
No,
that's not what
I
people
know, but I
hear.
actually want to go and read it. So what is it? Go on jakekeen.com, click on The Real Underground,
Yeah,
download
and
free
it's
ebook or just The Real
no,
Underground.
that's Sigadex. It's literally just an extract of the design of the first like 12 pages,
Ooh,
the last
nice. That's so
post.
sick. So, so sick.
It looks really, really cool. I've spent way too much time on it, but
Oh,
the
wow.
actual book itself, there's some cool stuff in there, man. And it's almost writing it as someone else means that I can just put really weird stuff in there.
This is so clever.
Are you looking at it
Jake,
now?
this is, yeah.
What do you think of the design? Does it look cool?
It looks amazing. It looks absolutely fucking amazing.
Sweet,
Instead of
man.
the acorn, you've put the horse. What's it called? The, I can't think of the
Oh,
name.
it's the knight chess
The
piece.
knight. The night. Downloading right this second so I can start binging.
That's literally just kind of like a design concept. There's not too much in there. I think it's like 12 pages just to show you what it looks like, because I use that membership almost as a notebook for certain things to say, is this worth pursuing? Would people
Yeah.
be interested in this? And people like the look of that, so I'm gonna work on that a little bit more
Oh my God,
for sure.
this book looks incredible, Jake. Sorry, I'm going to the PDF now. This is insane. Look at those old hands. Oh my God.
It's cool, right?
You put a lot of work into this, and it's
Yeah.
this extract at least is free. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't
No, it's
realize you'd
good.
done all this.
The actual content I've got so far is about 70 something pages.
This is lush.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool when I get it. If I print it, it'll be really cool looking. I think I'll have to print it, really, but I can't put that out as a PDF.
So funny. I watched a film last night. I really wanted to watch a because it's called The Old Man at the Card Table. I really wanted to watch a trashy action movie. So I'm not trashy. I just think that's probably a disservice. But I watched The Equalizer, and I'm not really like a huge action movie guy. And he was reading The Old Man and the Sea.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah, that's
Wow.
partly where the title is.
Yeah, the inspiration from it. Is it? Partial inspiration.
I'm really, some of the stuff that I've been doing at the moment, it's really nice because I'm super proud of it. And usually I don't give myself the leeway to be proud of certain things, but I've been super proud of some of the stuff I've put out lately and some of the stuff that's coming, which is really exciting feeling.
Yeah, dude. Oh man, I kind of want to get off this podcast so I can read this PDF now. Sorry.
Oh no. It's
It looks
literally
so
just
good.
like a preface and an introduction. There's not much content there. It's a design concept to show you what the rest of it'll look like.
Yeah, it's lush. Well, you've been busy then. You've been very busy. What's next for us, man? Because it's the session convention this weekend coming. I can't make it because I've got tickets to a musical with my wife. I laugh, but I like, certain musicals. But this one's called Six. It's a musical about Henry VIII's six wives, and it's written like from a modern point of view, modern times. Very, very jazz hands from what I've been told. So I'm
Hell
excited
yeah.
for the meal before it, which will be dope.
Yeah, I mean, I've only read good reviews of it, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I'm gutted that I can't make session convention this weekend either. It just the way things lined up, I haven't been able to, but I mean
But
it's
after that,
Blackpool next
we have
month.
Blackpool, the big one.
Yeah, the
It's
big one.
I fucking enjoy I enjoyed and hated the last Blackpool because I wasn't there as a guest, as a patron. I was there as part of the act or part of the show.
The talent.
The work. One of the slaves.
Ah,
I think
you
I
got the
didn't
royal
enjoy it.
treatment.
I'm much better suited and much more comfortable in the corner of like a jam session somewhere. So
Yeah.
super fucking hyped to go this year and have nothing really to do with it other than me and you and Craig have a joint crossover meetup night. Which is really exciting. It's the Wednesday night, the evening before the registration opens, at the house of what's it called? House
It's Russ
of
Brown's House of Secrets.
Russ Brown's house. I always get it confused with House of Illusions.
Yeah, same.
Russ Brown's House of Secrets. So if you go to House of Secrets Magic Bar and look for the event called, I'm just searching it now, so it's called Magic Podcast. It's on Valentine's Day, 5 p.m. till 10:30. You can get, I believe, tickets are free, right?
Yeah, they're free.
It's free tickets. And yeah, so houseofsecretsmagicbar.com. Click on what's on, book now, find the Magic Podcast event. And it's a crossover free event for anyone basically that's going to Blackpool that listens to this podcast or listens to mine and Craig's podcast and just wants to hang out, do some stuff, or if you come into the convention and you haven't met people before, and you're nervous and you want to make some friends that you know have some shared and common interests, aka the podcast and the style of magic that we all talk about on this podcast, then it's the ideal event to come to because it's going to gently guide you in to Blackpool. It's going to be it's there are limited tickets. It sold out incredibly quickly last year, even though they're free. It sold out really fast, and there is somebody stopping and letting people in at the door, so there is a head count. So it basically means that it's intimate, and it's the perfect sort of starting block for if it is your first time at Blackpool and you are anxious about meeting people and you don't know where to go and what to do and who to see. Come the night before, the 14th of February or the Wednesday, and yeah, we'll just be hanging out, and we'll have to we will absolutely have time for everybody there.
Hell yeah. I can't wait to jam with everyone.
It's gonna be wicked. It's gonna be wicked. The only problem is I booked my hotel for the Thursday, so now we have to rearrange that.
Yeah, we're sleeping on the streets on Wednesday night. So if anyone wants to take us in.
I love how half serious you are about
Oh, no,
that.
I'm completely serious. I'm a rapscallion, ruffian, bum, traveling, hobo, nomad. I don't mind.
I'll sleep in a bathtub.
That used to be my preferred mode of sleep.
Yeah, if I was drunk, that would absolutely be where I'd sleep, is in a bath.
Some
Or I've slept under a car drunk
of...
before.
Ooh, I've slept under a
Parked
lorry
car on the road.
at a service station.
That seems so horrible in a service. I don't know why. It does.
There's been some
Anyway.
dubious night sleeps along the way. Are you rushing us along to leave, Lloyd? Are you?
I have a lot to get on with today, my friend.
Oh, that's a shame.
I had a month off of everything over Christmas, I have a lot to catch up on. Yeah, a whole month off in this day and age. I basically just didn't respond to anyone or anything or do anything, and that sort of come around to bite me in the ass a little bit. But who cares?
Well, see, if it was up to me, guys, this podcast would be another hour or so because I have so much to talk about, but Lloyd's such an important guy. He's gotta go.
I'm not important. On that note, dude, thank you all so much for tuning in. It's been a fascinating, different bit of a podcast this week. Don't forget to head to that website, houseofsecretsmatchbar.com. Head to jakekeen.com to then follow the link through to the Real Underground, where you can get his first sample of the Old Man at the Card Table PDF, which I've literally got open in front of me right now. I can't wait to read it whilst I'm doing some bits and pieces today. And yeah, and then next week we'll be back. Should we set a creative challenge for next week?
Oh hell yeah! I love the idea of that. I've got one. Can I give one?
Oh, I wanted to give one. Go on, you
Okay,
give
go on
us.
then. Go
We'll
on
give
then.
two.
Okay, we'll give two. Do you want to go first
I
or shall I?
want you first.
Okay, so you know the general approach, the trick that cannot be explained.
Yes.
I have been playing with something lately, and it's super super simple. Probably been done a million times before, but I really like the idea. You have a deck of cards. And you say to someone, name any card you want.
Nine of Hearts.
Okay, where is it? There we go. I'm going to take four cards, well, three cards and your card. Okay, so you've got the three cards, well, three cards and their card go down on
Okay.
the table, go down wherever. And from there, the routine goes. It can go wherever. You can have them pick a card that goes back in. You can have them, put a card in their pocket, whatever it is. The crux of the start of this routine is, though, no one's doubting the fact that you've got their card in that hand, but you don't. You've
Okay.
just put it to the top.
Oh.
So there is a million different ways you can go from there, but where would you go? Because I have a couple of different routines that start this way. There's no reason for them to doubt you've got their card because you asked for it whilst you were looking and you put it down with three other cards. That's what they think the routine is. And where does it go from there?
I have an idea immediately, which is like a practical way of doing it.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so I can probably perform it to you sort of right now, I think.
Let's fucking go.
Right, so you're gonna have to be the descriptive guy. I don't have a full deck here, so if the card's not in it, I'll just tell you it's not in it.
No problem,
Deck
Isles.
cards, right? Think of any, probably better just name one that you can see.
Okay, let me See if I can zoom in whatsoever here.
I don't really have to talk louder as well. Or I can just hold them up like this. Look, here you
Oh, yeah,
go.
that might be a bit easier. Sorry, dude.
It doesn't matter what it is really like, but
Okay.
okay.
Yeah.
So what card? What card?
10 of diamonds.
10 of diamonds. So I'm going to take the 10 of diamonds out and get some random cards to go with it. So we'll be going on. There we go. And then this one, okay. So I've taken four cards out. Yours is one of these cards. I don't want you to know which card is yours, okay? So I want you to shuffle them on the table, okay? Happy? So you're gonna mix these up, whatever you want.
Okay, I trust you. Yep.
Okay, so I'm gonna place them out. I don't know if you can see them, sorry, the
I can
camera.
just about see the bottom of them. Yeah, that's
All right,
better.
cool. This card will be number one, this card will be number two, this card will be number three, this card will be number four. All right. I want you to. Oh, let me. So 1, 2, 3, 4. You're gonna name one of them.
Okay.
So any number, whichever one you name is the one we're gonna use. So it's not gonna
Okay.
be any sort of psychological forces.
Okay. Do you want me to just name
Okay.
one now?
Yeah. So that's 1, 2, 3, or 4. Whichever one you pick is the one we'll use, and you shuffled them. Remember.
Yes. I'm going for number four.
The last one right here. Do you want to change your mind?
No.
No, you're good.
I'm good.
Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna hold on for a second. Let me see what I'm gonna do here. I'm gonna turn the deck upside down,
Yeah.
and we're gonna place your card into the middle so everyone can see at home,
Yeah.
face down, just like that. Right? Good.
Yes.
And deck's going to be placed in full view over here. If the cards you didn't pick was number three, would be the
Ace of
ace of,
diamonds.
yeah. If you pick number two, it'd be the
Oh, five of spades.
five of spades. And if you pick number one, it would be the
It's a court card of
king
hearts.
of hearts.
Yeah.
King of hearts. But you didn't. You picked one card, and if we spread the deck, one card that we put face up in the deck is the Ten of Diamonds.
No,
Like that?
he got me. That's good. I like
There's
that.
like an inversion thing. So I've just
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the other thing you could do, sorry, is let's say it's a Ten of Diamonds again. I give you four cards, and the tens at the top. Let's use Ten of Hearts. I've just lost the ten in. As you're shuffling those, I can palm the 10 of hearts off and place it in my pocket, in my like hoodie pocket or jeans pocket. I say, you hand me one, we'll place it in my pocket for now. I put it on top outwards. And they say, look, the card you didn't pick were these three, but the card you handed to me is the 10 of hearts or five of spades.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. That's that like a kind of card to not card to pocket technically, but that kind of approach is what I was doing, and I've been playing with a couple of different routines that start that way because I love the position it puts you in. And if someone isn't confident with card magic, something like that could be a really cool way to do effects that they might not be comfortable doing with sleights.
yeah.
Even if you were to just, you have these cards put down, they're choosing which ones to go back in, and you're going to let them pick one more card because you've placed the card that they chose at the top. You could easily just do it. We're going to do one final decision, and this is what it comes down to. If I get your card, then I win. If you get your card that you named, you win, kind of thing. And then you can just cross-cut force and have them take another card into their little pile, and you've just given them their card. And either way, whether you get the card or whether they get the card, the trick has still happened, whether you won or not,
Yeah.
because it's been whittled down to this. There's a bunch of things I've been playing with it.
I wonder if you had like a an entire deck of mispipped, misindex cards and then one regular card to cover it. So they name any card in the deck, you take out three, or maybe there's three regular cards put throughout the deck. So then sorry, Kaylee's just asking, do I want a cup of tea? Yes, please. Hello. So you put three regular cards in the deck and they name one. Hopefully, they don't name one of the regular ones, but it doesn't really matter if they do. So then you go ahead and you out jog the mispipped card that they've named and the three normal cards.
Yeah.
You take them out, you place the mispipped one, you center it in between them. Now you can turn it around and show four cards. And theirs is openly part of one of those four.
Yeah.
And maybe you put a marking on the back which lets you know the correct orientation. And the front cover card is, has a marking which lets you know to keep it at the front because it's a
Yeah.
full regular card. Now they can shuffle them up and they can hand you I'm trying to think, they can hand you any of them possibly to lose. So you lose one in the deck, so one of the mispip ones is gone. And yeah, either way, they're always going to get rid of theirs in theory. Like when you turn them all over, theirs will always be gone. That, whether that's just covering the bottom pips as you turn them over,
Yeah.
or not, you know. So, but they'll always get rid of their card, and then just have an invisible deck somewhere else to reveal it.
Love it, dude. Love it. That's actually a really fun version. I kind of put gaffs and stuff out of my mind with it, because the reason I started playing with it was to do it as a borrowed deck effect. But as soon as you add stuff like that, you can do so many more things. The original routine I was kind of going for with it was, when you take out those four cards from this borrowed deck that's been shuffled and they chose what card, you take out four of a kind, so like nine. Then when you're splitting the deck, you split it eight after where their card is, as you put the four nines on the table. So then they go through the process of eliminating each of these cards, putting it back into the deck. The one they're left with is nine. That wasn't the card I chose, but then they deal down nine and their card's there. And there's a couple of different routes I've been going down playing with that, which is quite interesting and fun.
That is interesting.
With
Oh,
it,
dude. Right. Okay. Well, the
yeah.
challenge I wanted to come up with was simple, just a new method for revealing how much change is in someone's pocket.
Hell yeah.
You know what I
Hell
mean?
yeah.
Here's Kaylee with my cup of tea. On that, thank you so much, darling. On that note, guys, we're gonna have to wrap it up. Come back next week. Check us out on the blackartco.com. Don't forget to all these links that we've mentioned in the episode. And it's good to be back.
Very
Thanks,
good to
dude.
be back. Happy New Year, bro.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and I will speak to you all. We'll speak to you all next week, next Wednesday, same time, same place. Blackartco.com.
Sweet. Hell yeah. Peace.
I need to roll the outro music now.
You do need to roll the outro music.
Here
Well,
we
we could
go.
a cappella
La 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 la.
it.
La.